I noted to my wife, that who is very smart and very wise, I said, I think we're going to have one of everything today. And she said, you'll be glad to know that this has been brought forth. She goes, well, you could probably trim down the sermon a little bit if you needed to. So that is wise. That has been heard. We'll see how it goes. All right. Everybody that's been here a while says, not taking any bets on that one. All right. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. One of the, you know, my children graduates, when my children were graduating, they appreciated the love so much. And then they both eventually expressed, I know these people love us. I know they care. I'm getting a little tired of answering, well, what are you going to do now? Where are you going now? What are you going to do next? All right. It's just part of it. We love you. All right. We're interested. You're just so interesting. All right. We love you. We're interesting. What are you going to do next? What are you going to do now? What are you going to get? How are you going to get it? Who do you want to be? Okay. That last one is the one that matters. What are you going to do and what are you going to get? They are something. But the real question is, who are you going to be? And who are you going to be is a great question because it's all your life. It's not just at a transitional period. It's not just then. It's who are you going to be? It's a question when you're retired. It's a question when you're in your prime. It's one of the great things about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is you are doing things every day that matter and are eternal. Who are you going to be is the question. What are you going to do matters. What are you going to get matters. What are you going to accomplish matters. Who are you going to be is the real question. And when we're deciding who we're going to be, one of those things is who are we going to listen to and who are we going to try to be like. Love Mark Twain. Love Mark Twain's battle with Christianity. Here is one of my favorite Mark Twain quote, because he had the needle out too. And he challenges us. Here's my favorite Mark Twain quote. The worst advice you can give a man is to tell him to just be himself. When you go to an interview, when you're presenting to somebody, people say, just be yourself. You just be yourself. Just be yourself. I love what he says. The worst advice you can give a man is to tell him to just be himself. Because he knew our sins. He knew our faults. He knew our pride. He knew our self-centeredness. He was honest about that. That's what he was getting at. What we want to be is not ourselves. We want to be our best selves. We want to be our God-given selves. We want to be our Holy Spirit, regenerated and sanctified selves. That's who we want to be. That's the, for lack of a better way of saying it, advice. Who are we going to be? So what we're going to do today is, there's something that I read and then I've kind of added to myself about this great observation about the character of Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit in the coming weeks about the character of Jesus. So I just want to look at Hebrews, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, page 1008. Seemed appropriate for today. Seemed appropriate for graduation day. Seemed appropriate for baptism day. Seemed appropriate for communion day. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. You're running a race. Your life is running the race. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. The founder is what the English Standard Version has. You'll have the pioneer. And those are not particularly great translations. The word that is used there, archegos, is the Hebrew word that is translated founder or pioneer. And it is used four times in the New Testament, and its general use in Greek is hero. the hero. Looking to Jesus, the hero and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. It's a journey. It's a race. So the question is, who are we going to imitate? Who are we going to look up to? Who are we going to pattern ourselves after? And one of the reasons why this is appropriate for communion, and I just want to take this interlude just for a second to make sure we understand the gospel correctly. The gospel is not, look at Jesus, and if you emulate Jesus well enough, if you get to 60% or 70% or some decent percentage of living like Jesus wants you to, you can get saved. God will like you. You will pass. Any sermon about the character of Jesus, we do need to make this point. We are going to look at the character of Jesus and we're going to try to emulate the character of Jesus. Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The gospel is Jesus' primary work is what we celebrate at communion, that we are not good enough, that we will never be good enough. And you are, by the grace of God, loved and accepted and forgiven. If you want it, it is yours. You may have it. You want it and want to commit, it is yours. It is Jesus who gets us the victory. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Maybe the most taught Old Testament story is what? David and Goliath? What is the lesson we are usually taught about David and Goliath? That as you face the giant, if you will be strong, and if you will be courageous, and if you will be good, you can get the victory. While I think that there is a value in that understanding of God's empowering of us in our Christian lives, that is not the gospel message of David and Goliath. Here is the gospel message of David and Goliath. You are not David. I am not David. I am a membering of the cowering, afraid, impotent Israeli army that am facing a foe I cannot defeat, sin and death. Facing a giant I cannot defeat. I am facing sin and death and I am powerless. And here comes David, or Jesus Christ, the Son of David, to whom David points. And he defeats the foe we cannot defeat, sin and death, and brings us into his victory. That is the gospel message. That is the gospel message that David and Goliath points us to. So while we're talking about the character of Jesus, it is not, if you're good enough, you'll get in. If you're close, you'll get in. It is, you are in by the grace of God, come on in. Now, once you realize how you've been loved, once you realize what you've been given, now. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? And when He has a hold of our hearts, we will want to be like our hero. We will want to be like the one who saved us.
So I was listening to a preacher smarter than I am. There are plenty of them out there. I was listening to a preacher smarter than I am, and he made this observation about the great character of Jesus Christ. And it really caught me. So I'm just going to read through. And if you don't catch it all, don't worry. We're going to probably look at this in coming weeks. But here's what he said. Look at the unique nature of the character of Jesus Christ. It's who we want to be, but it's who we... It's so much better than what we want to do, but it captures us and makes us want it. And that is good. It makes us want it. And notice the both and. This is what caught me. Jesus Christ was a man of unbending conviction, of integrity. Of unbending integrity, yet with complete approachability and receptiveness. Jesus Christ insisted on the truth, but the truth was always bathed in love. He was tenderness without weakness. Tenderness without weakness. Boldness and strength without harshness. humility without uncertainty, humility with tremendous confidence, power without abuse or insensitivity, integrity and holiness without rigidity or self-righteousness, holiness without self-righteousness, demanding yet giving way more than he takes, demanding yet always forgiving when you fail, passion without hate, confrontation when needed but gentle the rest of the time, cleansing the temple and driving out the money changers and telling Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," yet saying, "A bruised reed I will not break and a dimly burning wick I will not extinguish." He did not avoid the rich and powerful, but nor did he need their approval. A friend to the weak and the outcast, yet always challenging them to be better and always bringing them in. Approachable to the broken and unafraid. A servant and a giver, a servant to the Father and a servant to his people. A servant, yet the most liberated, powerful, and fulfilled human being we've ever seen. A servant, but the most liberated, powerful, and fulfilled human being we have ever seen. That's who we want to be. That's who we were made to be. And if we're going to get there, we got some work to do. And so as saved people, as people who have understood that they have a Savior, if your desire is to be like Jesus just because you want to be good, two things will be true. One is you will be frustrated because you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And two is, if we think we can be good like Jesus and that's going to keep us from meeting a Savior, we will be wrong. But if you want to say, "I need a Savior," if you are convicted to say that, and "I'm taking Jesus Christ as my Savior, now who do I want to be?" He will bring you into this unbelievable character. And here are some of the ways that he said, "I'll get you there." One is, we got to read the Bible. We got to read the Bible, because if not, then it'll just be the Jesus we want. It'll be soft, nice Jesus who just lets everything go. "Oh, he just loves you no matter what. He loves you. Yeah, go do that. He loves you. Don't worry about it." Or it'll be harsh, self-righteous, condemning, you know, Jesus because, you know what, Jesus really only likes me or the people in my group, the people who think like I do. If we don't read the Bible, we're going to end up with those Jesus. We're going to end up with Democratic Jesus or liberal Jesus or conservative Jesus or Republican Jesus or socialist Jesus or capitalistic Jesus. We're going to end up with the Jesus that we create. You know, if God was really smart, he would think just like I do. If we are honest, that's what we think about God. And that's the test we put God to. If God is really who he says he is, he'll think just like I do. We got to get in the Bible and find out the real Jesus. And the second thing we got to do is we got to understand that some of this stuff is going to be real easy. Some of those things I read, it's like, "Oh, I like that. I can do that." And some of the things that I read, it's like, I don't want to, either I can't do that or I don't want to do that. And here's what we got to get. If you want to be great, the move from good to great, the move from good to great in the world, in worldly activities is this. The move from good to great is, I'm just gonna go hit, do my strengths. I'm gonna do what I'm good at. And these things that I find hard or that are weaknesses, I am not going to do them. The move from good to great is I say the things that I am not good at, that are hard for me, that I'm weak at, and I'm going to work on those until they become strengths. That's the move from good to great. And Jesus wants you to be great. So when we go over the character of Jesus and we say, some of these I can do and some of these I can't. You know, give an example, a musical example. And if I get too technical for you music people, just let me know.
You know, when I took piano lessons in college so I could do something with my wife, I would have something that I could, she did all that science stuff I couldn't do, but so I learned how to read music. So there's the ones with the line and the notes that are filled in, and there's the ones with the circle, and there's just the circle without the line, and then there's the little flags on them, and then there's the dots. But it's just too technical for you guys. All right. And so, you know, I've noticed that the songs that just have the line with the filled in with the line or the circle with the line, those are easier. But when you start getting the flags and the dots, it gets pretty complicated. That's just me. All right. So we were at Pound last Sunday at Pound, and Karen had a hymn for us, and we didn't know it, and we were just fumbling through it, and we couldn't get it. And I was looking, and I said, "Well, look at this music. It's got all these flags and dots. No wonder we can't sing it. No wonder we can't keep up and we're lost," all right? So then she says, "Well, you'll know this one, 95. So we cranked up, and, "Oh, we know 95. And we were just pounding through 95. We couldn't sing 93, but we could pound it through 95. And then I looked at the music on 95. And it had just as many flags and dots in it. The difference was not that it was harder. The difference was is that we knew this one, but we didn't know that one. And so when we read tenderness without weakness, boldness and strength without harshness, humility with uncertainty, demanding yet giving, some of those we know that song. And some of those we don't know that song. But they're the same difficulty. Because there's other people who know 93 but don't know 95. And here's how you become great. The ones where you don't know them as well, you say, "That's what I'm going to pray about, that's what I'm going to work on, and that's what I'm going to hold myself, and I'm going to get somebody to hold me accountable about." And that's the last one. We got to read the Bible, we got to accept, we got to say, "I'm going to make the move from good to great if I'm going to get this character." And third, I got to deputize some people in my life to hold me accountable. I got a text from somebody who's starting to go to AA, and it's good for him. And he said, "One of the things that's really helping him is that another friend of mine is helping him go. Sponsor, that kind of deal. Holding accountable, that kind of deal." Guess what we know? That's how you get better through a tough time. And here's what the church does. The church loves you and forgives you. It speaks the word of Jesus Christ, and they also... The church says, "Let me help you get better. Let me help you get better." We're going to spend some time looking at the character of Jesus Christ. Because the real question is not, what are you going to do and what are you going to get? The real question is, who are you going to be? Because let me tell you about what you're going to do and what you're going to get. If you do what you want to do and you get what you think you want to get, but you are not who Jesus Christ wants you to be, it is going to be hollow and unsatisfying. If you get what you want to get and you do what you think you want to do, but you are not who Jesus Christ wants you to be, it is going to be hollow and unsatisfying. And if you are not doing what you want and you are not getting what you want, but you are who Jesus wants you to be, you will still be doing great work. And you will still be changing lives, and you will still be bringing Him honor. And when you get to do what you want to do, and you get what you want to get, and you are who Jesus Christ wants you to be, your joy and your influence will be supercharged. The questions are not, what do you want to do and what do you want to get? The question is, who do you want to be? Let us look to the hero of our faith and our salvation. And let us pursue that. And we will get all we wanted.
Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, follow then, please, the preaching of your word with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And where, if because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in the preaching, cause that error to be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But if because of your grace working alone, there may be some truth in the preaching, Let that truth be burned into our hearts and minds and souls, that your truth might lead us in the everlasting way. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.